beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, of course, for this next hour, they're going to be the views of William Grigg, who was formerly the senior editor of the New American Magazine and now is certainly writing and doing all sorts of radio programs. And what a privilege it is to have him here at Radio Liberty to keep us abreast of what's really going on. And, of course, he's written a recent book about the coming police state, and we're going to have copies of those books one of these days. Anyway, William, what are we going to talk about this afternoon?
Well, Dr. Stan, it's always a pleasure and a privilege for me to be with you. I really appreciate you having me on so often. And I think that one of the things that we simply have to talk about is this repulsive spectacle of baseball players being dragged before congressional committees in order to answer questions about whether they used various kinds of performance-enhancing drugs at a time when we're seeing our government descend into the abyss of police state tyranny and corruption of the sort you found in the Two Sicilies back in the Dark Ages. You have a situation here where the Congress has no constitutional jurisdiction over what goes on in baseball. You really have to go a great deal to invest a lot of effort and trouble in order to concoct a rationale to justify a subpoena issued to Roger Clemens and Andy Pettit and some of the other people who are involved in what I consider to be a scandal, the adulteration of the competitive purity of baseball. I just don't see where the Constitution gives the Congress of the United States jurisdiction over questions of performance-enhancing drugs and the competitive parity and purity of Major League Baseball. But that's one really good illustration of the fact that as a society right now, as a culture, not merely as a government, but as a culture, we see ourselves sort of being caught up in the classic bread and circuses mentality of late Imperial Rome, when in order to distract the public you had these constant spectacles of gladiatorial matches and chariot races and other things of that sort, grand spectacles where people were offered the diversion of completely irrelevant, inconsequential things as their imperial government adulterated their currency and overspent their resources and plundered the treasury on behalf of grotesque projects of redistribution of wealth and made enemies by the hundreds of millions. And in order to keep the public occupied, you had sports as a large spectacle and a constant parade of scandals and ephemeral nonsense that was used in order to distract the Roman public. And now, yesterday I could hear, when I was listening to talk radio while I was running my errands in the afternoon, all I could see on television news, all I could see in the headlines were contrived fits and paroxysms of outrage over the defiant attitude of Roger Clemens as he was dealing with his congressional inquisitors. And that's just one of two examples of this sort. The other example is Senator Arlen Specter, who's a member of, I believe, the Senate Intelligence Committee. Just recently he made a big deal out of the fact that there was a scandal in the National Football League involving the New England Patriots. Their coach, during the course of their perfect season, of course they lost the Super Bowl, but in the course of the perfect season, the coach of the New England Patriots admitted that they had been cheating. They had been contriving various ways to steal confidential information to give them an unjust competitive advantage over the teams they were playing, when of course they really didn't need this. They were already redundantly more powerful than most of the teams in their conference. But there was some issue involving tapes of a practice, apparently, of the Philadelphia football team, the Philadelphia Eagles. And that's, of course, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Arlen Specter is a senator from Pennsylvania. And Mr. Specter made the rounds of television talk shows, both on ESPN, which is what one would expect, as well as CNN and some of the other news outlets, talking about how he would stop at nothing to make sure that he found out what happened to those tapes. That was crucial evidence that had been destroyed by somebody in the New England Patriots.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared, but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
This is George Whitehurst Berry of the Genesis Communications Network. Have you ever wanted the truth about the economy? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the fastest growing program on GCN. Our one-hour program airs weekdays, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 11 a.m. Central Time, just after the Power Hour and just before Alex Jones. To listen to rebroadcast 24 and 7, visit our website at www.hearitonline.com and click on the appropriate link. Our unparalleled guest lineup has included patriots such as Congressman Ron Paul, Scott Ritter, former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Murray Neal, inventor of the revolutionary dragonskin body armor, and Philip Torme, USS Liberty survivor. We also focus on alternative health and survival topics. Go to www.hearitonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural wound care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores, also called bed sores. The Healing Formula was developed by a home caregiver with over 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including organic aloe vera gel and 35% hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, decreasing pain, while promoting healing. The Healing Formula has also proved effective in other areas, such as abrasions, cuts, burns, and rashes. There are over 6,000 peer-published documents on the ingredients in this healing bed sore formula, with not one adverse reaction reported when used properly. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you are not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, nurses, and anyone with a non-healing wound. Please visit our website at healingformula.com or call 800-357-2944. That's 800-357-2944.
To stand back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and I certainly agree with William Grigg that what we're seeing is a gigantic diversion. And just as so much of what's going on overseas in Afghanistan and Iraq is a diversion, so what you're seeing in Washington, D.C. is a diversion. And you mean to tell me with the whole economy collapsing, certainly the market for home loans collapsing, market for student loans collapsing, market for auto loans collapsing, drying up of credit, the most important thing that we can do in Congress is to find out whether Roger Clemens is telling the truth or whether his trainer is telling the truth. And certainly the trainer was told he was going to be sent to prison unless he gave them the information they wanted. So we gave them the information they wanted.
Exactly.
We don't know whether it's true or not. We will probably never know what the truth of the matter is. So why are we spending all this time? And certainly if Roger Clemens had come forward and said, yes, I used performance-enhancing drugs, then, of course, what would the government have done? Well, of course, now they can get him for perjury if he tells the truth. But is this really the function of our federal government? And of course, as Thomas Jefferson had said so well, you know, when all power has been to Washington, D.C., and all matters, whether they be little or small, are mediated there, when that happens, we will have a government as venal as that from which we have recently separated.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what George III was doing, and that's what the government of George W. is doing at the present time. So go ahead.
Well, the thing that I find staggeringly perverse here is, once again, as you say correctly, Dr. Stan, this incredible misallocation of concern and these incredibly skewed priorities. That's one thing, but also the fact that the agency, if you will, in our society that is responsible for most of the trouble we're seeing here in the economy, where we're confronted with the prospect of a world historic economic and financial collapse because of what's been going on over the last 6 or 7 years with the sub and sub-subprime mortgage sector, all of it being abetted by federal agencies and all of it being abetted by the Federal Reserve, but the agency most responsible for this type of mischief, as well as a lot of the mischief overseas, is the Congress of the United States. And so they find some way to focus public attention on a cosmically inconsequential issue, namely the purity of Roger Clemens' bloodstream when it comes to the presence of performance-enhancing drugs such as human growth hormone, and the question of whether he had actually done this and lied about it. Now, I am a baseball fan of long standing. I grew up in the Bay Area as a child when my father was going to Berkeley. My earliest memories involve swinging a twig and, I believe, yelling out, you can tell it, bye-bye, baby, because that's the way the radio announcer would always announce a moonshot by Willie Mays or Willie McCovey. And I've always been repulsed by the spectacle of Barry Bonds as he made an assault. First on Willie Mays' record, I mourned when Barry Bonds hit his 661st home run and surpassed his godfather, Willie Mays, because I knew that that achievement had been adulterated by Barry Bonds' use of performance-enhancing drugs. And what he's done is he has grotesquely inflated his already very formidable and Cooperstown-worthy athletic abilities by using unnaturally these substances to turn himself into a walking pharmacopoeia. That's a horrible thing, and it's really detracted from the purity and wonder of baseball. It has undermined the value of his accomplishments. I mean, in a way, he inflated his statistics, and inflation ruins everything. But why are we up in arms, and I mean this almost literally, over the fact that inflation is destroying our savings, destroying our standard of living, destroying the prospect of being able to transmit a better standard of living to our children, and this is the doing of the same Congress that is now up in arms, rhetorically, and has put on the gleaming robes of righteousness and is sitting in high inquisition against the supposed sins, the alleged sins of Roger Clemens when it comes to enhancing his already once again Cooperstown-worthy performance and prolonging his career, perhaps by the use of these banned substances. And really, I don't know whether or not I lay that much credence to Roger Clemens' denials, but what I know is that in this country, a man's supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, and he certainly shouldn't be arraigned before Congress in the manner of a Soviet show trial on the basis of, as you pointed out, Dr. Stan, an allegation from somebody who was a cooperating, confidential witness who got a downward departure from the mandatory minimum sentence in exchange for offering testimony against Roger Clemens, turning in a big marquee name to be fed to the multitudes in this Soviet show trial. And that's another really good example of the sort of thing that goes on every day in this country that we put up with in large measure because we're distracted by contrived spectacles of this sort. And it's not just what's going on in Major League Baseball, as I mentioned. Arlen Specter, Senator Arlen Specter, Magic Bullet Arlen Specter, is now talking about how infuriated he is, how he simply cannot abide the fact that the Patriots apparently stole the game signs of the New York Jets, the Philadelphia Eagles, and that the tapes went missing. I mean, this fact apparently has caused sleep to depart from Arlen Specter. He simply cannot endure the notion that somebody would be so perfidious as to steal those game signs and then conveniently lose the evidence. And he will not rest until he finds out what happened to these missing tapes. Now, this is the same Arlen Specter who has the constitutional responsibility in his function in the Senate Intelligence Committee, I believe, the Senate Judiciary Committee, one of the two, to track down what happened to the missing tapes of torture sessions conducted by the CIA against the laws of this country, against the Constitution of this country, in ways that not only injure our ability to obtain vital intelligence, because torture is never a good way to obtain intelligence, but in a way that is corrupting the very essence of what our government is supposed to be as a constitutional republic. Our inspector has dismissed this with a flighty and completely insouciant remark. Oh, that doesn't rise to the level of an inquiry, he said, on the record, on videotape, as it happens. He said, this particular scandal, the loss, the destruction of this critical criminal evidence of the exercise of torture by CIA agents, that doesn't rise to the level of a Senate inquiry. The loss of game films or practice films by the New England Patriots, now that's a subject fit and worthy of a Senate investigation. In large measure, once again, because that's a suitable distraction, but also, of course, because Armand Spector has a long career. Armand Magic Bullet Spector has a long and storied career of running interference for the ruling elite.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I certainly think that people have to understand what's going on. In fact, my son was telling me this morning, he watched some of the CNN hearings, and a couple of the congresswomen on the committee made remarks really very, very similar to yours, such as, why are we wasting our time doing this? But obviously the people who are running Congress and running the House of Representatives, running the Senate, want to focus our attention on unimportant things, while, of course, the important things really go by the wayside. And that's the old trick of the sleight of hand expert. You know, he has one hand, you're watching what that hand is doing.
Mm-hmm.
You're not focusing at all on what the other hand is doing. And, of course, what Congress is really doing behind the scenes are the things we should really be concerned about. And they've gotten us into a terrible, terrible situation. But we're watching the hand that's out in front of us. And, of course, the question is, and the real important question we have to answer, is Roger Clemens telling the truth or is he not telling the truth? And that will probably be something like the O.J. Simpson trial, which was another example of a show trial. In fact, you couldn't get anything on television for really weeks at a time while O.J. was on trial. And the question is, did he do it? Did he not do it?
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you that almost every white person I've ever met is convinced that he's guilty of sin. And almost every black person believes he was framed. And whether they framed a guilty man, I don't know, but I think there's no question he was framed. But what that did was divide our society, and people don't understand. That was a psychological attack on the minds of the American people to divide us and turn white against black and black against white. And the average American has no idea how we were manipulated for weeks, and we're still being manipulated by the spectacle of O.J. Simpson, and now it'll be Roger Clemens will be the next one.
Yeah, mission accomplished in terms of setting people off against each other on the basis of race and ethnicity. I mean, that obviously was the objective in terms of how that event was covered. In the case of the O.J. Simpson murder trial, there were two dead people, so it was a matter of much higher significance than whatever Roger Clemens did in terms of his own bloodstream. But the thing that I find interesting here is that I believe it was Virginia Fox, the congresswoman from, if memory serves, North Carolina, who made a point of how this whole thing is this contrived Augustan spectacle, like the Colosseum of Rome, or like people being packed into the Colosseum and then being showered with gifts of grain and money by the emperor. And in talking about this idea of bread and circuses, the price of bread, of course, is shooting through the roof precisely because of the adulteration of the currency by the same Congress that's worried about the adulteration of the competitive purity of baseball. They've been debasing our currency just relentlessly now for decades. Very briefly, there was a story that was in Lou Rockwell's blog today where somebody who's in, it went to a local bakery in, I believe, the capital area, and the owner of this bakery, this fellow reports, was beside himself. His cost per bag of flour has jumped from $9 to $23 in less than a year. I don't know what people are going to do, he said. A lot of folks are already up against it. $9 to $23 in the space of fewer than 12 months for a bag of flour. There was an item yesterday in the news sections of most newspapers, or in the business sections of most newspapers, rather, talking about the fact that a lot of these fast food places now, because belts are being tightened in a financial sense, your belt's not going to be tightened if you go habitually to fast food joints, but if your belt is being tightened in the fiscal sense, they're trying to boost their dollar menu, to add some more of their high-end products to the dollar menu, but they're having a hard time right now because the price of flour, and hence of hamburger buns and other types of bread, is just down through the ceiling. Wheat has never been more expensive than it is right now. That's a basic staple of the Western diet, and take a look at how that's escalated in the last year or so. While we've been fed this steady diet of intellectual junk food, the price of real food has gone through the roof, and that's a direct result of the debasement of our currency by the socialist fiends in Washington, the same ones who want to sit in judgment on Roger Clemens and his ilk.
In fact, if you see what's happening, of course, over in Africa, where they do consume a lot of corn and wheat, those are the staple foods over there, price has gone through the roof. These people don't have the money we have here in America. We're going to see famine throughout the world as a result of the skyrocketing prices of grains. And And, of course, but the important thing is Roger Clemens will be right back.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of the counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America.
Get the Berkey Light, the American water purifier, only $279. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
In this corner, the vicious digestive overload, featuring bloating, gas, and constipation. And in this corner, the popular formula for better bathroom habits, Dr. Ritter's Aloe Cleanse. And the fight is underway. I have to say, Pat, digestive overload looks much bigger than usual in tonight's match.
It makes sense. Toxic matter builds up in our bodies from the foods we eat. No wonder we get so sick and tired.
Oh, did you see that? Aloe Cleanse knocks digestive overload out.
Well, Aloe Cleanse is natural. It flushes the entire system smoothly. Digestive overload didn't have a chance.
The winner by a knockout, Aloe Cleanse.
Don't lose the fight against digestive overload. Cleanse the body to remove the buildup of toxins. To try Dr. Ritter's Aloe Cleanse formula risk-free, call 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914. You'll look trimmer, feel better, and have more energy. That's 1-800-457-9914.
Well, I stand back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is William Grieg. We're talking about Roger Clemens. We're talking about how this is really a diversion. We're talking about the crises we face, certainly over in the Middle East, the crises we face here financially, the skyrocketing price of wheat. And wheat is up to $16 a bushel. I can remember when it was $2 or $3 a bushel, up to $16 now. Certainly the price of corn has almost tripled, you know, for this food. foolish concept that we're somehow going to thwart, going to get back at the Arab countries by creating ethanol here. Of course, it costs us more to create the ethanol than oil would cost, but and it costs, takes more energy and is more polluting than the gasoline, but that doesn't matter. Boy, we're sure going to show it to those Arabs about, you know, who's boss here. So you go ahead with him.
Yeah, well, I think that it's just a really good illustration what you're describing here. The ethanol delusion is a really good illustration of how people have taken refuge now in what used to be called magical thinking. And that's the last refuge of people who are completely without plausible recourse for their situation. I mean, that's the sort of thing that you find among people who, for instance, will seek to redeem the household debt that they've run up by going all in some great business venture that's high yield but extremely high stakes, or simply go to a casino and put the deed to your house down on 21 or something of that sort. The idea that you're going to have this one great turn of immense good fortune that's going to solve all your accumulated problems. And big accumulations of problems have to be solved more or less one at a time, and you have to go back to the basics, trace the root of your problems, and uproot your problems down below the surface in order to solve the predicaments you find yourself in. It's not something that's going to be done in one fell swoop. You know, the Deus Ex Machina in a classic play where everything is resolved in the last act. Life isn't that way for the most part. And right now, I think a really good illustration as well of that same type of magical thinking at work is what happened in the stock market a couple of days ago after Warren Buffett announced this initiative to try to bail out, or at least to keep alive, those three big bond insurers that are just terminally wounded. Nobody is willing to admit this. I mean, they've been mortally wounded now by the collapse of the subprime mortgages and the fact that the derivatives are unwinding. And Howard was the father of Warren Buffett, and a much more estimable person, I think, than Warren. But Warren Buffett pledged $5 billion, which is not even a drop in the ocean of what has to be provided in order to rescue the economy here, because we're talking something like $8 trillion in mortgages that have been written and mortgage derivatives. And this guy puts up $5 billion and says he'll rescue these three bond insurers in order to keep their AAA credit rating intact. And the markets rally. It's just complete irrational exuberance, to use a phrase I'm not fond of, because, you know, given its origins. I mean, Alan Greenspan was the one who coined the phrase, but the phrase is descriptive and suitable right now to the circumstances, where people are willing to grasp at anything, however trite, however ephemeral, however implausible, in order to justify the continued overinflated boom on Wall Street, and to justify the hope that somehow we're going to avoid the inevitable consequence of a bubble this size. The bubble's got to collapse. You know, prices have to return to something like a rational ratio, and the malinvestments have to be cleaned up, and a lot of painful downsizing has to take place in certain areas of the economy. But people still think that we're going to be able to continue as we've been going for the last 10 or 15 years. It's not sustainable, and something that cannot be sustained is not going to continue much longer. And that's true of the whole fiat money and fractional reserve banking system. The FDIC, and you're probably aware of this, Dr. Stan, but the FDIC in January on its website posted the most recently revised regulations for banks to deal with depositors in the event that they start to fail. I mean, they've started really what's been called a death watch on American banks. And there was an item in the Reuters news service last week. One of the big banking analysts said that he anticipates that there are going to be scores of banks that will go out of business between now and 2010. That's less than 2 years from now, obviously. You know, he's anticipating that we're going to have an epidemic of bank failures. I don't see how we're going to avoid it, because there really isn't a bank. There's credit unions that are in a good position right now, but I can't think of a bank of any significance that is not directly implicated in all the nonsense of the mortgage market and derivatives and the bad loans and clusters that nobody really wants to handle. Nobody wants to negotiate with that. Nobody wants to transact that paper because nobody knows how much garbage is involved in it. one reason why a lot of banks are not lending each other money right now, why credit is so tight. And that's why the Fed is seeking to assuage that situation by loosening credit for the banks and for the speculator class on Wall Street. No, they're going to be taken care of while the rest of us go down if the Fed has its way.
And I think we're in real trouble. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened at the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest William Grigg, and before we go on, I want William to tell you how to get to his blog spot, how to get the book that he's recently written, and any other information he wants to put out. Go right ahead, William.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. As you mentioned at the top of the program, I am going to make available a quantity of books for you to sell through your organization, and you should be hearing in the next day or so from my associates at the Welch Foundation, who published the book. And the Welch Foundation also maintains a news portal on the web called The Right Source. And The Right Source is where you can find my blog, as well as articles, news articles, commentaries, video and audio features as well. And also you can order the book, my new book, through the Right Source website. And the web address for that is www.rightsourceonline.com. It's one word, rightsourceonline.com. If you go to the page right now, at the top of the page, there's a large section advertising my new book, which is entitled Liberty in Eclipse, The War on Terror and the Rise of the Homeland Security State. It's about 310 pages long, as rather comprehensively footnoted. The purpose of that book is to scare the living daylights out of people who have been distracted by things like the Roger Clemens hearing and the contrived controversy over the New England Patriots in the NFL. if you've been watching cable television, if you've had a steady diet of updates over Britney Spears' most recent breakdown or Paris Hilton's most recent doings, if you've been immersed in the NFL, the NBA, the MLB, Major League Soccer, or whatever it is, NASCAR, for instance, that occupies most of your attention, you've probably not paid careful attention to what's been going on in our country over the last 6 or 7 years, during which time our country has very quickly and definably metastasized from a constitutional republic into an authoritarian unitary police state. That transformation is now complete. We're not yet at the point where people are going to start taking notice of this in terms of the visible and obvious manifestations of that affliction. But everything is in place right now for us to be suffering under the heel of undisguised tyranny. All the legal mechanisms are in place, for instance, to make it possible for perfectly innocent people to find themselves imprisoned in perpetuity without any legal recourse or due process guarantees at all whatsoever. We have a system in which people can be, to use an unfortunate but appropriate term, disappeared, in the same sense that people are made to disappear in dictatorships, both classic banana republic type thugocracies that you read about in Latin American history, or even worse, totalitarian regimes of the sort we still see in places like North Korea. Those legal mechanisms, those institutions already exist. The due process guarantees enshrined in our Constitution and that we inherited as part of the Anglo-Saxon tradition of liberty under law going back to Magna Carta in 1215, that's been pretty much eviscerated by the Bush administration. It's been done with the active support of Republicans in Congress and with the passive indulgence of Democrats in Congress. Everybody is dirty in Washington, with a couple of noble exceptions. People have actually spoken out against this and done what they can to try to hold back the darkness. But in terms of the partisan alignments, both of the retail outlets for the one establishment party are guilty in the conversion of our once free republic into what it is now and what it may become.
I certainly agree with you, and I think it's so important that people understand that we have a one-party system. Yeah. They're doing everything they can to convince us that we have a two-party system, and oh my goodness, we have people fighting back and forth and arguing, but it's all showbiz. And until people understand that there's very little difference at all between the Republicans and the Democrats, at one time the Republicans were the party that wanted to cut government spending, and they make a big issue out of it. But they're the biggest spenders we've ever had. We've had larger deficits under Ronald Reagan and certainly under the current administration than we ever had under any Democrat throughout all history. Mm-hmm. So how could that possibly be? And the same thing is true as far as, this whole process of the federal deficit. Oh, my goodness, those terrible Democrats. And yet, under Bill Clinton, even though we never had a totally balanced budget, we certainly were spending a lot less than we spent under George Bush. And, of course, those terrible Democrats, they wanted certainly all this involvement throughout the world. Bill Clinton got involved in Bosnia, got involved in Kosovo, and George Bush criticized Bill Clinton for his nation building, and boy, when I'm elected, that's not going to happen. And well, of course, he's been far worse than anything Bill Clinton ever did.
Well, you remember what happened after Solomon died in ancient Israel, and there were two groups of advisors. There were the older and wiser advisors, and there were the young and more ambitious. And the older advisors to Solomon's son recommended that Jeroboam give the long-suffering people of ancient Israel a break. They'd been taxed into penury because of wars and ambitious building projects, and also to sustain, unfortunately, the retinue of concubines that Solomon had built after he'd abandoned the wisdom God had blessed him with and started to indulge his baser appetites. They'd been taxed, and they'd been oppressed. They needed a break. That was the advice given by the older advisors. The younger advisors said, no, we had to put the screws to them a little bit more energetically still. And so Jeroboam, unfortunately, said when he was asked what his policy would be, said, my father beat you with whips, but I'll beat you with scorpions. In other words, I'll beat you with whips into which have been embedded all kinds of nasty cutting edges. In other words, you're going to get it really bad. You think you've had a bad role, you haven't seen bad yet. Well, that's sort of what's happened over the last several successive presidential administrations. You had, during Ronald Reagan, a huge, unfathomably huge deficit. I remember he came He came to power in 1981 talking about the debasement of the dollar and the need to cut government spending. So he cut tax rates, and then he let basically spending go completely unchallenged. He did not plague Congress with vetoes, as in this bipartisan engine of plunder got revved up into high gear. George Bush the Elder came to power, and you had the same thing take place. We thought there was going to be a peace dividend after the putative cold of the end of the Cold War in 1989, 1991. Instead, we found other things to spend money on. Bill Clinton came to power, and about halfway through his two terms, he said the era of big government is over. Well, in a sense, the era of big government had to take a step back, if you will. Big government, this is an era in which big government had to take a step back because of partisan opposition. There were some elements of Congress that didn't let Bill Clinton indulge his every statist whim. And so there was a brief recession, if you will, in the growth of government. The government went into a recession, which is the healthiest thing that can happen to an economy is if government itself goes into recession. The rate of spending declined dramatically, and in some ways spending actually retreated during the 8 years of Bill Clinton's administration. And when Bush the Younger came to power, it's a little like Solomon and his son. I mean, you think that you've seen big spending before? No. I mean, George W. Bush has added more to the aggregate debt of the United States during the 8 years he's been in office, with the help of Congress, I specify, than all the presidents combined before him. And that was done, once again, under the reign of a supposedly conservative Republican president who had the advantage of a self-described conservative Republican Congress until 2007. And so you have here really an anomaly. Most people assume that Bill Clinton, because the guy is Marxian in his social outlook and in terms of his prescribed policy positions, really he was sort of a beacon of fiscal responsibility compared to the two so-called conservative Republicans who bookended his 8 years in office. But that is because, as you pointed out, Dr. Stan, there is no material difference between the Republican and Democrat parties. They're two retail outlets for the same wholesale political establishment. And that's something that most people don't understand because we've been trained, to look upon politics with the same lenses with which we view sporting events. We think in terms of a pennant race or in terms of a drive to the Super Bowl. And we don't understand that these people are not really in a position of competition. There's much more collaboration than competition that goes on in politics. That's particularly true when you're talking about the party leadership. I mean, the way the parties are set up, each one, the Republicans and Democrats, have a certain assigned constituency. You know, the social liberals, the labor movement, people who are government employees particularly for the Democrats, for the Republicans, to be by and large the Christian right, pro-life activists, traditional family champions, people of that sort. And so there's something that must be done every once in a while in order to placate these two constituencies. But the leadership echelons of the Republican and Democrat parties are almost fungible. They're separated by very little distance. They play to their constituencies as a way of keeping large groups of the population occupied with a pretense of competition, while collaboration is the order of the day in the name of the bipartisan consensus. And that's why every year that's divisible by four, you know, every leap year when we have a presidential contest, there's always an effort made to rile up the activist base in order to accentuate the differences between the Republican base and the Democrat base. But by the time you end up getting to inauguration day and when the budget is made in January or February of the following year, we find out that things have not materially changed except for the worse in terms of fidelity to the Constitution and some effort to rein in government spending. And people really are getting to the point, there is some useful indignation in the public, I think. They're getting to the point where they realize that something is systemically wrong here. And I think that that has to do with the fact that we're no longer able to avoid the consequences of our government and its profligacy anymore. When you have some of these things happening in the economy described in an earlier segment, you know, when the price of wheat and the price of bread and flour and all the things that go into making staple foods goes through the roof because of money inflation and eventually price inflation, that gets people's attention. You know, the price of energy and food become almost unbearable, and people are pushed to the wall because there's no more credit available. They can no longer defer making fundamental economic choices here and making fundamental sacrifices. That gets people's attention, and that can be a healthy thing. assuming, of course, that there's enough resilience in our basic decency and character and ethics as a country and a society. I hope we're able to rally that.
Of course, the question is there enough morality left? You know, one of the things that really had always attracted me to the Republican Party was the fact their stand on the pro-life issue. Certainly,
yeah.
How can you possibly justify abortion? But when the Republicans controlled the executive branch of government, the presidency, and both houses of both the Senate and the House of Representatives, and all they had to do was really pass a law that simply said Roe versus Wade no longer exists, and the Supreme Court cannot interfere with this, because according to Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution, Congress can pass a law that says the Supreme Court cannot deal with this issue. All they had to do was pass that. They had the majority. It was never once suggested. It was never tried. Because the truth of the matter is, they posture all the time. They pretend to be pro-life. Oh, my goodness, we're going to withhold some money from this one organization in the United Nations that is funding a worldwide abortion. We're going to give the money to another United Nations organization that's doing exactly the same thing. But look what we did to that one international Planned Parenthood. Boy, we took away their money. And you have to understand, it's all smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, well, they don't want to lose a politically useful issue by actually making progress toward a worthy goal. This is an exercise in which they try to make sure that they can maintain the sense of outrage, the politically profitable sense of outrage, by making sure that the grievance is never fully addressed. It's the same dynamic you get with the war on terrorism, the war on drugs, all these other so-called wars. You know, pursuing these so-called wars and pursuing the partisan political remedy to social problems, that's an exercise as futile as trying to overtake a horizon. You never quite do it. But with respect to the right to life issue, it's interesting, this year during the March for Life in Washington, there was no coverage at all in the media that I found of these tens or hundreds of thousands of people that converged in Washington to memorialize the slaughter of tens of millions of unborn children, and to execrate the Supreme Court for the unconstitutional abomination that is Roe versus Wade. Of course, it's been the tradition now that Republican presidents never address these pro-life gatherings in person. They'll condescend to speak to them by a closed-circuit telephone hookup. And in this year's message of that sort, George W. Bush, from the tone and substance of that message, was apparently counseling the pro-life movement just basically to make their peace with the supposed fact that this can never change. That Roe versus Wade is never going to be overturned, that we're never going to have any serious effort undertaken in this country to protect the innate rights of the human individual who was destroyed by abortion. He was actually counseling them more or less to make peace with the status quo, or to find some way of carving out a niche in the status quo and being comfortable therein. I thought that was really a remarkable development here, because, first of all, you didn't see anything about this in most of the mainstream press, and secondly, you didn't hear any condemnation of that message from the major lights of the Christian right. You think they should be outraged about such treatment by George W. Bush.
I'm sorry, my go right ahead, Buddha. My microphone was off. I was just going to say that we Christians do not understand that they've been used by the Bush administration. They've been patted on the head and slapped on the back and told how wonderful they are. But the truth of the matter is that the Bush administration has done nothing to advance the cause of pro-life. Oh, they've certainly given a little money here or elsewhere to certain groups of people. They bought their support, but
yeah.
It's amazing how blind the Christian leaders are. And they are so readily flattered and so really loath to go ahead and take a moral position and condemn those within government who are utilizing Christianity to pursue their own political agenda.
Yeah, it used to be the talk about wanting a place at the table. Now, if they're given a seat at the table, then they can do these wonderful things in terms of influencing the president in a certain direction, as if the president were a monarch. I mean, that's the assumption here. And now they no longer seize the table. They're allowed to curl up the feet of one of the chairs at the table and eat the crumbs that fall off the table. And now those crumbs are being taken away from them. I mean, that's the sum and substance, I think, the actual message of the treatment that the pro-life activists received this year at the March for Life, when Bush wouldn't go so far as to talk about the need to repeal Roe versus Wade. He wouldn't even give them the dignity of embracing that goal, however distantly, in however aspirational a sense. He wouldn't even do that. So that was the one major crumb that they were given, and now that's been withdrawn from them. And yet there's a certain canine loyalty on the part of most of the Christian right to the Republican Party. They'll bark, they'll growl, they'll grunt, they'll moan, but they will almost always go back and pull the lever for the Republican Party on the assumption that if they don't do so, you'll end up with somebody even worse in the White House. Well, folks, it's not going to improve if you allow the people who are at the leadership level of these parties to dictate your expectations. And if you assume that by truckling to those interests, those people, you're going to have a positive impact on our political culture, it's just not going to happen that way. You have to take power back from Washington. You have to reduce the power that those people exercise and the prominence and prestige that they enjoy. That's the only way that any positive progress is going to happen in this country.
Because everybody says, my goodness, if we don't have a Republican, how are we going to get a Republican? If we don't have a Republican in the presidency, how are we going to get Republicans on the Supreme Court? And I'd point out that 7 of the current corrupt Supreme Court justices were, of course, appointed by Republican presidents.
Yep.
So if we have a Republican, maybe we'll get more of the same. We'll be right back.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case of a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you, and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
This is Elizabeth Border, author of the 2-book set, America Attacked and Chaos and Chemtrails. I wrote these books because I believe that every American should have the vital chemtrails research info. I was much heartened and encouraged when a radio listener recently wrote me, quote, "You are truly a great writer, so clear and powerful and thorough in your communication. You have the strength to forge ahead in the midst of darkness, and you also believe in the power of goodness and truth. I hope you listeners will order these crucial books. Send your check for $32 post-pay to Radio Liberty, P.O. Box 969, Soquel, S-O-Q-U-E-L, California, 95073. $32 to Radio Liberty, Box 969, Soquel, California, 95073. Or call 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and I got so involved with our conversation, I forgot we were out of time. William, are you still there?
I am.
Well, I just wanted to thank you so very much for being with us, and we'll look forward to talking to you again tomorrow night.
Thanks so much. God bless.
And you too. Bye-bye. Well, that certainly is one of my favorite guests, and that's William Grigg. And, well, this is the time I wanted to mention, of course, Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you agree with me that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, we hope you'll consider, and if you're in a position to do it, consider calling 1-800-544-8927 and joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Now, we talked a little earlier about O.J. Simpson's. We've got a four-tape set on O.J. Simpson. And if you want it in CD form, we can always make that up, but ordinarily it's four tapes. And of course, you've never gotten the whole story of O.J. Simpson. And we've interviewed four authors who wrote four books. Fascinating material that will give you a whole different slant on what that was really all about. And then, of course, we have a new four-tape set or four-CD set called The Planned Police State. And people need to understand they really are planning a dictatorship in America. This is not imaginary. It's not make-believe. It's going to happen unless there are enough Americans who have the courage to take a stand in times like this. Are they modifying the weather? Have they modified the weather? Yes, I believe that they have the ability to modify the weather. They've been working on this for many years. They are modifying the weather. And you can go up at Google and simply Google in weather modification. And you'll find there are companies right here in the United States that'll modify the weather for you. We've got a great DVD on that. We've got a great four-tape set on weather modification and a book on weather modification. Another four-tape set on HAARP, and then a book called HAARP, the ultimate weapon, because HAARP, of course, is a means of heating up the ionosphere, changing the jet stream, and one of the means that they use for modifying the weather and creating their hurricanes and creating their tornadoes and really the devastation and the droughts that they can produce. And actually, you go back and you read the book that Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote back in 1970 called Between Two Ages, where he talked about how in the future they'd be able to create storms and droughts and be able to create new, previously unknown chronic diseases. And you know, we got all sorts of new chronic diseases out there, and most people never ask, gee, I wonder where they came from. And I will tell you, a lot of them came from military or other laboratories right here in the United States as we disable the enemy, the American people. Well, ladies and gentlemen, certainly we hope you go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, and that's RadioLiberty.com. You can watch our DVDs, many of them there. You can listen to our programs live or certainly on MP3 or archived. You can certainly read our newsletters, which we recommend, and our latest newsletter to explain to you about the no-win war we're fighting in Iraq is simply a speech that was given by the Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez in October of last year, where he talks about the best thing that we can hope to accomplish in Iraq is, well, not to have defeat. That's about the best thing we can possibly hope for, how totally destroyed our military is, and of course it'll take 10 years to get our military back if we can just get out of Iraq, and of course how our boys are fighting and dying over there, but not allowed to win. It's another no-win war, ladies and gentlemen, just like Korea and Vietnam, just like, of course, the Bay of Pigs, where we sent the Cubans in, thinking that they were going to have air support and resupplies. We sent them in to die. And when you understand that, so much of what's going on really makes sense. So that's the December newsletter. It's available on our website at RadioLiberty.com, or if you'd like a free copy, we'll be glad to send it to you. If you haven't got something recently, and also, of course, we hope that many of you will certainly want to join the Radio Liberty family, and you get your monthly newsletter, and or you can simply subscribe to the newsletter. But if you want a free copy and a free catalog, the regular catalog, the health catalog, and the emergency food catalog, give us a call. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29, plus shipping, by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque. And of course, what most people don't understand is that this is a Soviet structure that's being established in Europe. It's not run by the elected representatives. It is run by a massive bureaucracy that are appointed. And even Gorbachev has referred to the European Union as a Soviet, and it is a Soviet. And tragically, the people are not being consulted because, you see, this is when they established the communist dictatorship in Russia. They didn't notify the people and say, would you want to have a communist dictatorship anymore? Then, of course, they're allowing votes on the part of the people of Europe. In fact, the last time they had a vote, I think it was both France and either Belgium or Netherlands actually refused to ratify the European Constitution. So, well, of course, people don't want it, so we'll just go ahead and install it anyway, because you have people, you have an elite group who have a different world view. And, of course, they don't care what this common people think. They don't even want us to know what they're up to, because we are incapable of understanding the noble goals these people have. Well, Dr. North, thank you so much for being with us.
No problem. Hi.
Why don't you pick up the story there, and, of course, you're much closer to that battle than we are.
Yes, I mean, you've described it in an interesting way. Yeah, it was Holland and France, and at the time we thought we were on a roll, if you like. Two important countries, two of the original six, said no.
His mind once he got in power, is that true?
Well, they have this wonderful new technique It's called lying.
That's really sort of an old technique. But
yeah,
go right ahead.
Right. What they are... It's almost indescribable, and I'm sure your listeners will find it hard to believe. But it needs a little background. What the commission did...
Liberty, I guess, is Dr. Richard North, and of course, as you can tell from his accent, that he's from Great Britain, and of course, he's over there. We're talking to him right now from Great Britain, and he's on the front lines of this battle to try to maintain the sovereignty of Great Britain. And of course, what people here in the United States find it difficult to believe is that a country would give up its sovereignty, and of course, a country with a heritage of freedom like Great Britain, the people would be willing, anxious to give up their freedom and to go into a system of government where they really have no say at all. Everything is run by a bureaucracy, a European bureaucracy, that will tell individuals, states and communities exactly what they will do and how people will run their lives. Well, of course, this is what's happening in Europe today, and of course, this
and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now. It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Dr. North is pointing out that they've come up with a new process, and they call it a constitution. They're throwing out all the old treaties that were used to join the countries together. They're coming up with this thing they call a constitution, but it will not be something that people will have to vote on. It'll simply be left up to the elite, who have already predetermined. They want to unite Europe. Now, of course, the reason, the rationale is that we had a terrible First World War. We had a terrible Second World War. if we can simply, have a united Europe, we won't have any more wars. But what people really don't understand is the reason they fought the First World War. It was all a contrived war to create such horror and carnage that the people would be willing to give up their sovereignty. And that's exactly what it was about. It was about creating the League of Nations. And, of course, here in America, we were told this was a war to end all wars, a war to make the world a safer democracy. It was all about world government. And, of course, when the League of Nations failed, they needed the Second World War. And if you don't think that was contrived, you need to read Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, where he tells you how Chamberlain was actually encouraging, Chamberlain the Prime Minister, Adolf Hitler to take Alsace-Lorraine and Austria and Sudetenland. And Hitler was financed largely by American corporations that built the war machines for him. If you doubt that, why you need to get the book, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, and understand that the Second World War, as horrible as it was contrived and prolonged. And I had the opportunity of talking to the General Wedemeyer on several occasions, who was in charge of planning for the war. They could have ended the war in 43 or at the latest 44. But Churchill wouldn't let them invade. They were ready to invade in 43, and we weren't allowed to do it. They simply went off on all sorts of sidetracks, the invasion of North Africa, the invasion of Italy, anything to prolong the war and the carnage. And after the Second World War, people said, we've got to unite Europe. We've got to have an alternative. We've got to have a world government. And, well, go ahead and pick up the story, Dr. North, because certainly it sounds like they're coming up with a constitution, but it's being prepared in such a way that the people will have nothing to say about it.
Well, what I was explaining was that the way our politicians are lying to us, and it's a long, convoluted story, and this is half a problem. It's not an easy story to tell because it is so devious. But anyway, to continue the story very quickly, we ended up with a constitutional process which had been abandoned, and reversion to the original amendment process to end up with the same thing. But all the politicians have been saying, when we say, but we've got a constitution again. Oh, no, they say, the constitutional process has been abandoned. And over term, they've elided the two things, two totally separate things. One is the constitutional process, the other is the constitution. The process has been abandoned, but the constitution hasn't. But they stand up in Parliament again and again and again and again. And every major politician in Europe, no end of studies, have said that the new document is the same as the old once it's added to the existing treaties. And they just repeat like parrots. No, the Constitution has been abandoned. Therefore, we don't need a referendum. So we have a Constitution. They've given it a different name. It is still a constitution, but because it has a different name, they don't feel obliged to give us a referendum. And they just stand there and they lie through their...
And what
that's
a tragedy.
What we're dealing with.
And of course, if they would lie about this, what else would they lie about? And what they're really doing, of course, is establishing an authoritarian, for all intents and purposes, dictatorship. And of course.
Well, the trouble is with all these. It's a dictatorship without a dictator. They like to call it the post-democratic society.
The post-democratic society. That's a very good term. What is a... I said that democracy was supposed to be free. What's a post-democratic society?
These people love long words, long names, and convoluted theories. The idea is that representative democracy, i.e. the idea that you vote for people, doesn't actually produce the right result. I think some people after your election might say that. So what you have in a post-democratic society is... And I warn you, they do like their long words. A participative democracy.
A participative democracy. What is that?
That is where you have another of these jargon phrases. You have to learn a whole new language, Dr. Stone, of civil society, which are these wonderful NGOs, non-governmental organizations, which are then organized so that they are in permanent dialogue with the government to tell the government and open to consultation so that the benign platonic guardians can divine from their organized civil society what in fact people want. So they then tell the people what they want because they've listened to their organized civil society, and that is their idea of democracy. And the thing is, they distort the language in such a way that they then turn around and say, ah, but we're democratic. And they actually believe it.
Well, I wonder if they really believe it, or if they're just trying to convince the people.
No, I think the worst of it is, and the most dangerous thing is always, is when they actually believe their own propaganda. And I think these people actually do believe their own propaganda.
Well, of course, you mentioned that you were moving towards a dictatorship without a dictator, but of course, I'm sure you're aware of the fact that a man who used to be the Prime Minister of Great Britain, a man who was so unpopular there, he was really forced to resign, a man named Tony Blair is planning on running for the president of the European Union. How do the British people feel about that?
Horse, frankly. I put money on it. It's not going to happen.
Well, he's got some very powerful friends in very powerful places. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yes. But even then, and the danger in drawing too many analogies, for instance, with the Soviet Union, is that there are similarities, but in fact, I think it's fair to say that the European Union is a form, a very subtle form of government, a very subtle structure, which in combination are actually unique, that there is nothing like them ever devised before. There are similarities, but the collective, if you like, is so subtle, so different, so complex that, if anything, it is a rule by transnational officials rather than a single person. I don't think a single person in the dictator style could ever run it. But what it does is it allows bureaucrats, officials, call them what we call them Eurocrats, to bypass normal democratic processes and run the show without the intervention of elected politicians. They run the politicians rather than the other way around. So you have, if you like, a bureaucracy which is its own master. So we're used to calling people, certainly here, civil servants, and the stress on the servants. They're not only the servants, they're the masters. And you have this nexus of officials throughout 27 countries. And they make the decision. They work out what we're going to do. And then the politicians simply become the front men who tell us how much we like it and how democratic they are and how wonderful everything is. And aren't we lucky with this continual propaganda?
But of course, it sounds to me like the people will have little or no input at all. The elected representatives will have little or no input at all. How does that differ from the Soviet system?
That is the, if you like, the superficial similarity. Is the absence of democracy. But whereas power in the central in Soviet Union was very centralized around the party, around the country, who was able to, insofar as he could, control the apparatus of state. In the European Union, the power is diffuse. Spread around the 27 nations and held at different levels in different sectors by groups of civil servants who meet within the framework of the European Union structure and devise laws.
But
there's thousands of them.
And
they
what's
are generating the laws. It's not actually done centrally. It's incredibly diffuse.
Well, I know that certainly that though that they can tell the individual sovereign states what they're going to have to do. In other words, these non-elected bureaucrats, answerable to no one and certainly not answerable to the members of the European Parliament, and we've interviewed Ashley Moat, and he tells me that they have no input at all. It's the bureaucrats that run everything, and of course, whether it's a diffuse bureaucracy or whether it's a centralized bureaucracy, sounds to me that freedom will simply very soon become a remembrance of things past.
Well, that's for sure. Your job is to do as you're told. And like it.
Right. All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment. Our guest today is Dr. Richard North, who's telling us about this massive bureaucracy, which, of course, he feels is not like the Soviet Union. They're unelected. They have total control. The people have no rights at all because the bureaucrats will determine everything. And, well, anyway, we'll be back in just a moment here to develop these ideas because, ladies and gentlemen, it's happening in Europe. The plan is for it to happen here as well.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Where do you think one of the most toxic places on earth is? The answer may surprise you. It's in your body. The colon is a natural breeding ground for disease-producing germs. It may not sound like a very appealing subject, but it should not go ignored. For over a decade now, natural health expert Dr. Lauren Ritter has educated people everywhere about the benefits of internal cleansing. Now, these benefits include higher energy levels, more comfortable digestion, high immune support, and healthier-looking skin. Now you can try Dr. Ritter's colon cleansing program from the privacy of your own home. It's safe and natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. Don't let your body be the most toxic place on earth. Take care of your health by cleansing your colon and body. Dial 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914. Call now to find out how you can get the colon and body cleanse risk-free for 30 days. Dial 1-800-457-9914. Call now.
Hi, Dr. Deagle here from the Nutramedical Report, 2 to 4 p.m. Monday to Friday here on Genesis. You may have heard how relaxing an ionic foot spa can be. The warm, soothing bubbles rushing around your feet. The joy of relaxation. Few people realize how much benefit the ionic cleansing can be to remove toxins from your body. Electrochi Premier Foot Spa helps in cleansing the body of harmful toxins and energizes your cells. Each treatment will electrically recharge you at the cellular level. Your cells become electrically balanced and the cells are oxygenated. Your body will begin to work better. Energy helps your body to purge heavy metals, toxins, and parasites. And with ElectroChi, your well-being, vitality, and energy and health will improve dramatically and you'll feel rejuvenated and energized. This is sold at thousands less than your health professional's office. Activate your wellness with a relaxing, energizing detoxification with ElectroChi Energy Foot Spa. Balance your body's meridians of energy and your wellness today. 888-212-8871 or Nutramedical, N-U-T-R-I, medical.com.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Dr. Richard North is telling us that certainly Brussels is not producing all of this legislation. They simply put a stamp on it. It has the force of law, and of course, it will be enforced throughout the European Union, including in Great Britain and elsewhere. But basically, he's saying that a lot of this comes from the United Nations. Now, did the people of Europe agree that the United Nations and the United Nations bureaucracy was going to determine their laws? No, but they don't have any rights. It's been taken away from them. Others come from UNESCO and similar organizations. And once it goes to Brussels, they simply put a stamp on it. It becomes the law of the land. Well, it sounds to me like the people then are losing all of their rights to freedom. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, it is, because the legislative process, now the way laws are made, are so opaque that most people now have very little idea of how the laws are made, where they come from. The bulk of the process is invisible, so that by the time it actually becomes visible, i.e. at a supposed consultation stage, it is then too late to do anything about it. It's then cast in stone. I'll give you a quick example. In the papers last week, a very contentious item came up, small but relatively important, the idea of daylight running hours, a requirement that you should have headlights on during the day. Now, this is quite a contentious issue because lives are at stake. The motorcycle people reckon that keeping lights on cars all day, because motorists and motorbikes have their lights on to stand out, will shroud motorcycles, and arguably it means that you will see more people dying on motorcycles, or sickles, I think it's called. But the discussion has been going on for maybe 10 years or more. Then suddenly, and I mean that suddenly, a question is asked in Parliament about what the status of the discussions are, and we learn that the European Union has actually produced legislation and that it is now final, and there's nothing we can do but we have to accept it. But the legislation was originally drafted not by the European Union. We're back here. This was UNIS. This was actually crafted in Geneva by a United Nations committee, handed down to the European Union. It then comes out for consultation, but the consultation's a fraud. It's going to go ahead anyway. It's never been discussed or debated in our parliament by our elected members. And when it comes in its final form, they will have no say about it other than a requirement that they approve it.
Well, of course, the thing is, every time you pass a law, you take away freedom. Mm-hmm. At least according to the American tradition, diffusion of power is the ultimate goal. Limitation of power is the ultimate goal. Letting people be free, let them determine what they want to. And it sounds to me like this bureaucracy that you are describing is the antithesis of anything of traditional freedom. It is regulation of every aspect of life, and whether it comes from the EU bureaucracy or the United Nations bureaucracy, sounds to me like the European Union is coming under the control of under international control. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes,
Let me give you another quick example. You were talking earlier about the Second World War. Does the name Dakota as an aeroplane mean anything to you?
Decatur?
The Dakota.
Dakota, I've heard the name.
The Douglas DC-3 that became the American C-47.
Right.
It was the workhorse of the Allied forces during the Second World War, the transport aircraft.
Right.
Now, that took troops, paratroops, into Normandy, took them across the Rhine, and was the workhorse during the Berlin blockade. So it's a historic aircraft. There's one left in Britain as a working model, which actually takes people on pleasure flights as a sort of heritage experience. And it's very much valued because of the Second World War implications and because it's a beautiful aircraft, American Douglas DC-3. We have one left. Now, a European... they turn up at air shows, this aircraft turns up at air shows, people queue up, and they have the trip of a lifetime going up in this vintage aircraft, which they enjoy hugely. Now, the European Union has brought out a law, new safety measures for airliners. Very good. We're all very interested in safety measures for aircraft.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Hi, I'm Bobby Lygos with today's Car Clinic Minute. You're a beautiful tropical fish darting around aquarium coral. Then you're sluggish, no energy. This fish story is no bait and switch. It's really about cars. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it. I'm Bobby Lygos, and I've discovered a fountain of youth for cars. One reason our cars get old before their time is the same thing that keeps them going, fuel. The carbon deposits left by fuel burned in your engine can choke off its air in fuel mixture, reducing efficiency. The BG Fuel Service removes harmful carbon buildup, dramatically improves power and mileage, and includes BG44K to treat the entire fuel system. To learn more, go to BGFindTheShop.com.
BG.
No pep in your car's performance? No need to fish for an explanation. It may be your fuel filter. Like aquarium filters, fuel filters trap debris. Their job is to snag gasoline contaminants before they reach your engine. But if filters clog, flows are restricted. And then, like fish who can't get enough oxygenated water, your engine can't get enough precious gas. Result? Poor performance and decreased gas mileage. So don't let the big ones, dollars that is, get away. Change fuel filters with every tune-up. I'm Bobby Lycus. Lycus, you'll love us. What's better than a tiny tiger in your tank? A tornado under your hood. A tornado is an easy-to-install, maintenance-free air twister designed to increase gas mileage. I personally commissioned independent tests to verify results in 6 vehicles, and all of them gained MPG with tornado. With today's gas prices, it makes sense to cage the gas-saving power of a tornado. Visit TornadoAir.com or pick up your tornado at Checker, Shucks, and Cragen today.
A moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Krista, Dr. North was saying that basically so many of the pieces of legislation that are written now are written with good intentions. Oh, my goodness, they want to protect people flying an airline, so they pass new legislation. But, of course, this would include any airline, and, of course, this would include the old DC-3, which has been around since the 30s, or probably the late 30s. And since it can't necessarily abide by the rules and regulations they put out, why, it means that nobody's going to be able to fly in a DC-3. Not that there's anything wrong with it. But now there's a law that regulates all airlines and will include DC-3s, which can in no means be able to correspond to the rules and regulations. We see this here in the United States. Well, we see this in the regulation of hospitals by governments. Oh, they're so concerned about having adequate nursing staff. And so, basically, in our hospitals over here, why? I mean, I can remember there was a time when you got personal care, you get a back rub at night. Now, of course, we can't have aides on our wards. We have to have all these nurses because, of course, they're so much smarter than aides. And your chances of getting, of course, a back rub in a hospital or personal care in a hospital in America today is about like winning the lottery. It just doesn't occur. And it is all a direct result of government interference, always in the name of doing good. And do you find the same thing is taking place in your country?
Yes, they talk about Mother Europe, and they really do actually use that term, Mother Europe looking after its children. We talk almost jokingly, but there's a hard edge to it, about how we would actually prefer them to have black uniforms and jack boots and come marching down Whitehall.
But
because at least you would know who your enemy was.
But, of course, how can you be sure that it won't happen given enough time? Because this is what always happens with totalitarian organizations. In fact, you go back and read what Plato wrote in The Republic, where he said that democracy always degenerates to despotism. Democracy always degenerates to despotism. That's why, of course, here in America, we were never to have a democracy. We were to have a republic. But, of course, they don't teach that in schools anymore because they have a different agenda. But, I mean, once you've given up your freedom and you've given up your weapons, what keeps them, the people in positions of authority, from not advancing authority? Certainly one of your countrymen, Lord Acton, you know, said that
yes,
power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Well, I don't think it'll last long enough to become a totalitarian structure. Because what they're doing so successfully is destroying the underlying economies of the 27 nations. And gradually undermining the individual nations to the point where they are no longer in control.
But don't you think that when faced with the option of suddenly the whole thing crumbling, they'll become increasingly authoritative? Because, of course, the bureaucracy does not want to lose their positions of power. They don't want to lose the good salaries they have, the pensions that they have. And then they will use the military and police to force the people to go along, even if they don't want to.
I think that is when the whole structure will begin to crumble and the power will be reasserted by individual member states, but in a very unpleasant form.
But how will they do that? I mean, how will you overthrow this? Because is there anything within this treaty that they've established that gives the individual states the right to withdraw?
Yes, indeed, there is. But in any case, that in itself is a fraud because we already have the right to withdraw. Our parliament could repeal the act that keeps us within, and we'd be out within minutes.
But, of course, certainly are your politicians about to do that? Most of your politicians, you know, certainly are, like our politicians, are bought and paid for, and they go along with what they're told from above. And when you have people like Gordon Brown there, who's a dedicated internationalist, is he going to tell the members of his party to pass legislation to withdraw? I can't believe he's going to.
We've always wondered why it is politicians are so keen to give their power to a supranational entity. And the truth of it is as one of our parliamentarians said recently,
they're suffering from collective amnesia. They've forgotten what they're there for. Now, the primary purpose of Parliament, call it a Congress or a Parliament or whatever, is to actually create laws, and in many ways, to prevent the executive from creating laws. That's as great a power. Having been involved in this as a parliamentary researcher and being through the process of creating law, I can tell you the great secret of government. Making laws is incredibly boring. It's long, hard, tedious work. It takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, and it is something which is not easily done. Now, our politicians basically have delegated this power, if you like, to the central authority, to Brussels, who then farms it out, but that's the other part of the story. But it relieves them of the responsibility, the burden, of the boredom of actually having to make their own laws. Which means that then they can then prance around on the theatre of politics, the great debate, the politicking, internal politics, external politics, all the theatre of politics without the hard grind. And I think, by and large, most of our politicians actually enjoy that. They're elected as our legislators, and they're very often called legislators, but they're no longer making the law so that they can have, as I said, the theatre, the trappings of power, without the responsibility of doing the job that they're paid for.
Well, because if they don't make the laws, somebody else is going to make the laws.
And our laws are made in Brussels.
And of course, the thing is,
stamped in Brussels, they're made all over the world, but they're stamped in Brussels. They come down to us. So instead of saying to take an act through Parliament, it's several months' work. If a law comes from Brussels, it goes through a committee which talks about it for 3 hours and says, okay, well, that's it, and that's what we're going to do, and it goes through.
But it sounds to me like England has lost total control over its own government and over its laws, because if your laws are made elsewhere, either in Brussels or perhaps in the cloistered places of the United Nations, then England is no longer a sovereign nation. Somebody else is making its laws, not British, and not those people answerable to the British people.
And it is theory, we are still sovereign.
But in practice,
we're not. In practice,
are underpaying consumers.
The politicians have been so seduced.
Cuomo said today he wants to end what he claims
by the
is a
convenience
fraudulent
of
practice
Brussels,
and seek restitution.
That they have lost the will,
Senator
the
Barack
ability,
Obama picking up another endorsement one day after securing three more wins in the Democratic presidential
the
race.
Status
David
quo,
led President Clinton,
and they are content to shovel more and more power and delegate more and more
today.
Meanwhile,
Brussels. Hillary Rodham Clinton is campaigning in Texas ahead of
to
the state
point
primary
where
next month.
It's impossible to see it being dragged back.
Can you even keep what
and it's very convenient for government as well, of course. They can play games
but we need the answers and we need them fast. You can find those answers
getting
by
Brussels
reading the new
front
economic
law,
disorder
so
the economist
Brussels
Bates.
Becomes unpopular
Bates explains
for producing the law, and they can sort of shrug their shoulders and say, well, you know, it's for the greater good. Look at all the benefits that membership brings us. Occasionally they will say, oh, well, we have to suffer a law we don't really want, but it's for the greater good, chap, so don't worry about it. But if you like, Brussels is a lightning conductor. It's the way governments can absolve themselves of responsibility and therefore unpopularity for measures by saying, well, it's nothing to do with us. It's Brussels, it's not us.
But you see, what's really going on over there, and I look at this really from a historical point of view, is the fact that there are people who have a different world view and a different world agenda. Are you aware of the EU building, European Union building in Stuttgart, that is designed after the the unfinished Tower of Babylon. That actually, it's really built. It's completed, but it's designed after the unfinished Tower of Babylon, and it seems to be what you're really doing.
There is a certain similarity, and it is definitely there as a symbol to demonstrate that the construction of Europe is not yet complete.
Is this taking out after the Tower of Babylon, which was to unite the world?
It's very easy to make that analysis, and yes, there is an agenda here. There are people who believe that Europe should be one region in a world government, and of course this is why there is such a close affinity between the European Union and the United Nations. And they subscribe to the concept of international law, which will dominate and be superior to national law. And we saw this, of course, with Iraq, the invasion, that we hear people talk glibly about legal and illegal wars, i.e. their definition of a legal war is one which is approved by the United Nations. Now, that is terribly dangerous because it takes away one of the most fundamental powers from a independent nation state, and that is the ability to decide whether in your own national interest you take the ultimate step of going to war with another nation. Now, the United States fortunately has been very robust on this. It refused many areas of international law, but the moment you subscribe to this, this doctrine that there is a law superior to the nation state, then you are on the slippery slope to losing your sovereignty, losing the control over your lives. And that, in a sense, there is a world agenda there, and it is very, very dangerous indeed.
But this is really, in essence, what Great Britain has done by going along with the European Union and letting them dictate the laws of Great Britain, either from Brussels or from the bureaucracy someplace or from Geneva or through some United Nations commission. Heaven only knows where they are, but now they're telling the British people how to live their lives and really determining what's going to go on. I would think that the people of Great Britain would be up in arms about this.
You would think so, but there's a sort of malaise hitting this country. It's the apathy of the powerless. You don't campaign to change the weather because you can't. And I think there's a sort of attitude that, well, this is beyond us, this is outside our control, so you don't bother about it. That's human nature. You tend only to concern yourself with and put your energies into things that can be changed. So you have this terrible malaise where people basically have given up on politics.
But because the people on the other side haven't, the people within the Fabian Socialist Movement have an agenda. And they've always said by very slow and progressive advance, they will eventually accomplish their goal of a world a system under a ruling elite, which is what socialism is all about. And of course, their emblem is the turtle. The turtle. Why? Because he goes very, very slowly. He's not like a rabbit. He's not like a racehorse. He's like a turtle. But he keeps moving towards a goal. They know what they're doing, and they have an objective. It seems that the good people of Great Britain have simply said, well, there's nothing we can do. Well, of course, if the Fabian Socialists had taken that position, why, of course, England would have maintained its integrity, but progressively through the years, since the early 1880s when they formed the Fabian Socialists, they've worked, they've taken over the Labour Party, they've dominated your government off and on again, repeatedly over the last half century.
Well, the genius of this is that you leave the institutions in place so that we still have a parliament, we still have members of parliament. They still meet, they still have their debates, they still have their theatre, we still have our official buildings, our civil servants still go to work in the ministries. They still have their titles. And all the outward signs of the British government still exist.
But the real but the real traditions of Great Britain simply have been passed over. And, of course, it looks like something real, but it's really not at all. England has been destroyed, just as our country is being destroyed, by these people who have a different worldview.
The power has been siphoned away. But to external appearances, to very superficial appearances, everything looks the same. And it's only when you start studying it very carefully you begin to realize that a lot of things have gone the way they're doing. Our own government conspires with it by, say, coming up with an initiative, and you suddenly find a ministerial announcement that says, we have a new policy on this, without mentioning the only reason they are now having a policy on this is because they've been told to have one by Brussels, or they've agreed at Brussels that they should have this policy. So that you get this extraordinary volt fuss. A few years back, we, like you, have a situation with drunk drivers. In our law, we have the I don't know if you call it the breathalyzer, the breath test, the roadside breath test.
Right, huh?
In our law, the police cannot take random tests. They have to have due cause in order to stop you and take a test. Now, Brussels wants a different system. It wants random testing. A few years ago, this came up. It was quite a public controversy. And our government stood up and said, no, we've done a lot of scientific studies, and we found that random breath testing doesn't work. It's not a good use of police resources. That was the end of it. Until a couple of months ago, suddenly, without any background, any build-up, any discussion, the government stands up and says, we are going to introduce random testing.
Hey, we're out of time. I want you to hold on there. Our guest has been Dr. Richard North. Do you have a website at all you'd like to get out?
Yes, I run a lot of this on my own website. It's called EU Referendum, all one word, EU Referendum.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case it's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you, and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt
debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Are you concerned about the high cost of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. The average savings for generic drugs was over 71%. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page, so you can get an idea of your discounted price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, all prescriptions are covered, and 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call us at 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461. Do it today.
Thank you so very much, Dr. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope that you enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Richard North. And as we're saying, you know, since there's no opposition there to this move towards world government, and they move to take away the freedom of the British people, why, of course, nothing happens. And the same thing's happening in the United States. The plan is to unite the United States with Mexico and with Canada. There is a plan for a North American Union. In fact, we have a four-tape set, a four-CD set. The North American community, you need to get that. You need to get the book we carry called The Late Great USA. The Late Great USA. Because, of course, if the American people aren't willing to take a stand, then freedom as we know it will soon become a remembrance of things past. If you'd like to know what's really going on over in Europe, and, of course, I'm surprised to realize how few people really understand. We carry a booklet. It's put together by a man named Vladimir Bukovsky, who was a contemporary of Solzhenitsyn, Alexander Solzhenitsyn. As Bukovsky's written, living in Great Britain now, but for many years he was in the Soviet Gulag, the Soviet prison camps. He was actually released by the Soviets in exchange for a spy that the British were holding. And Bukovsky is so concerned about what's going on. He recognizes, of course, that what they are doing is establishing a Soviet government in the European Union. And he's put together a pamphlet. It's called EUSSR. That's EUSSR. And, of course, it means, well, of course, it's a takeoff on the USSR, Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, but now it's the EUSSR. And it simply tells how the Trilateral Commission and David Rockefeller and the Americans were over there, of course, working with Gorbachev to establish the European Union. Why would David Rockefeller working with Gorbachev to establish the European Union? Because these people are all globalists, and they want to establish a one-world government under an authoritarian elite. And if you doubt that David Rockefeller is a globalist, we carry his book, Memoirs. We carry his book, Memoirs, where he tell you on page 405 that he is part of a international cabal that is working to establish this international order. And, of course, his loyalty is not to the United States. That's David Rockefeller, certainly one of the richest and most powerful men in our nation. And the book, Memoirs, we carry. And, of course, we do hope many of you want to get information on our form of government. We have a pamphlet called We Are a Republic. Do you know the difference between a republic and a democracy? Could you explain it to anybody? Could you give the quotations? Could you tell people why our founding fathers created a republic rather than a democracy? And why, when the president says we are a democracy, and when the senators say we're a democracy, and when the presidential candidates say we're a democracy, they're all lying to the American people? Well, this little pamphlet that we think is very good, it's comes from our newsletters, but we put together an inexpensive little pamphlet, as we have so many other things you need to have, to understand, really, of course, the affinity of our leaders for communist brutality, you need to get our pamphlet, The Communist-Capitalist Alliance. The phrase comes from a speech that was given by Solzhenitsyn back in 1975 and totally suppressed by the American people, because the last thing they want is for the American people to realize that we finance communism since its inception. The best enemy money could buy is a great diversion so that people would rally behind our leaders. In the same way we brought Fidel Castro to power, and if you doubt that, you need to get my DVD, World Revolution. World Revolution, you'll see my interview back in 1980 with Ambassador Earl Smith, the American ambassador to Cuba. He was a very charming man. He was a multi-billionaire, the only multi-billionaire I ever ran into. And of course, he was trying to get the truth out that the American State Department had intentionally brought Fidel Castro to power, and knowing it was a communist, but we can't let the American people know that any more than we can let them know that right today we're disseminating nuclear material and nuclear supplies throughout the world in preparation for the coming war. That's my January newsletter on Civil Edmonds. You need to get the information. You need to understand what's happening. And, of course, they're going to take us into World War III. It's only a matter of time. Civil Edmonds' story is so important. The DVD, World Revolution, is so important. Our number, 1-800-5...
Gasoline prices are out of...